Great job, choir. We sure appreciate Brother John, Miss Jean, and Miss Alicia and our choir. And we appreciate you. We're glad you're here today. If you have your Bibles, we'd like for you to take the gospel and turn to the Gospel of Mark and turn to chapter 3. And let's look at verses 13 through 19. If you're able, let's stand in honor of God's Word. Mark chapter 3. Verses 13, and let's go to verse 19 this morning. As we study the Word this morning, we see that Jesus is getting away from the great multitudes. He is at the Sea of Galilee, and the demons are being cast out. The demons are pronouncing Him as the Son of God. He does not want them to testify to who He is. And so now He goes up to the mountain. And this is where He is, and I want you to look at this deep, rich scripture of the Word, and then I want you to look at the guys that He calls, and then I want you to think about you. Aren't you thankful that He's called you this morning unto salvation? Aren't you thankful that He's called you to serving Him? He went up to the mountain and called to Him those He Himself wanted. Look at the next part of that. And they came to Him. Then He appointed 12 that they might be with Him and that He might send them out to preach and to have power to heal sicknesses and to cast out demons. Simon, to whom He gave the name Peter, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, the brother of James, to whom He gave the name Boanerges, that is, the sons of thunder, Andrew, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, the son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed Him, and they went into a house. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank You for Your Word. It's rich, it's powerful, and Lord, we look at Your Word this morning and we see that there are those that You call to Yourself. And Lord, let us not forget that. And Lord, we see that when You call us to Yourself, we come to You. And Lord, we want to praise You for that today. Lord, I thank You for calling me into the ministry. I thank You for calling me to preach Your Word. And Lord, I pray that You're not ashamed of me. Lord, I pray that we divide the Word in its truthfulness. Lord, in its sovereignty. Lord, in its power. I pray that we preach that this morning. Lord, I thank You so much for what You're doing here at New Hope Baptist Church and that You're calling people to serve. Lord, You're calling people unto salvation. And Lord, we thank You for Your mighty call this morning. Lord, as we study Your Word, Lord, I pray that hearts are enlightened. I pray that eyes are opened. I pray that ears are unplugged. And Lord, I pray that they see Your divine Holy Spirit minister them as You ministered to the apostles. Lord, we love You and we give You praise, honor, and glory for who You are this morning. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. When we look at this today, He goes up to the mountain of central Galilee. We don't know exactly where, but we know that it was somewhere close to the Sea of Galilee. And we know that as He goes up to the mountain, He called to Him those He Himself wanted. Now, I don't want to alarm anybody's faith. I don't want you to be shattered by foundational truths. But I want you to really study this portion of the Word of God. And I want you to see exactly what Mark says through the Holy Spirit of when Jesus calls, when God calls out of eternity past those whom He chooses. When He says here that He went up on the mountain and called to Him those He Himself wanted. That call in the Greek is a word that means summoned. It means to be summoned by the King. And when the King calls you, you will answer. Aren't you thankful for God's sovereign grace this morning? And so as we look at this, He went up on the mountain and He called to Him those who He Himself wanted. This summon from the King to the disciples and those He Himself wanted. Wanted there in the Greek means that He desired them. Not because of anything that they had done, but because of who He is. Not only did He desire them, but the Greek word means He purposed them. Praise God this morning that He has a purpose for our lives. Aren't you thankful for that today? He purposed them. You say, well, Michael, don't I have a choice in that matter? Well, God did not choose certain sinners to be saved because of something praiseworthy in them or because He foresaw that they would choose Him. He chose them solely because it pleased Him to do so. Scripture affirms both divine sovereignty and human responsibility. We must accept both sides of the truth, though we may not understand how they correspond to one another. I don't, but I know God does. Jesus said, "All that the Father gives me shall come to me, and the one who comes to me, I will certainly not cast out. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who beholds the Son and believes in Him may have eternal life. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes has eternal life. And no one can come to me unless it has been granted him from the Father." How both of those two realities can be true simultaneously cannot be understood by the human mind, only by God. But I am so thankful for His salvation this morning. Not in anything that I've done, but because of who our God is that we worship today. He Himself called them, and the Bible says those He Himself wanted. And then there's the next phrase in there that we may agree to disagree with. The call of His irresistible grace, the call of effectual grace, the call that says this phrase, they came to Him. They came to Him. And a lot of people says, oh no. But when you look at the Word, and the Word speaks for itself, those who He Himself called, He called them according to Himself for His purpose. And when you're called for His purpose, watch what the Word of God says. You will come. You'll come. Aren't you thankful for His salvation this morning? Aren't you thankful for His calling on your life this morning? Whatever that may be. If somebody would have told me 25 years ago, you're going to be a preacher, I'd have laughed in your face. If somebody would have told me 30 years ago, you're going to be called into the youth ministry and you're going to be called to pastor New Hope Baptist Church, I would have laughed. I would have mocked you. I would have scoffed at you. But God, in His amazing divine sovereignty, He calls those not because of who we are, praise God, but because of who He is. Aren't you thankful for that this morning? That's what He did here. He called these men. In verse 14 it says this, then He appointed 12. He ordained 12. The Greek word means that He made 12. Now I want you to think about that. He made 12. In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. It's the same type of verb. This is pretty amazing here to me. When you think about make. When you think about that word appointed. Brooke, my oldest daughter, and her class took a field trip to NASA this past weekend to see all the space museum, the rockets, all those neat things. And we get down there into Houston, Texas, and NASA, and you see all the things that they have made, and it just blows your mind. Man can make some marvelous things. They had 4 7-foot robots that were human-like, and they had them hanging from these hooks from the ceiling, and those robots could move how they were programmed. And the robot could shake hands as hard as you could grip. Fascinates me what man can make. When you're driving through Houston, I hadn't been there in a long time, but Houston makes Dallas look like New Hope. You're driving through there and those skyscrapers are all over the place. The traffic just swallowing you up and you're just sitting there. I'm white-knuckling it all through it. The kids are screaming at the top of their lungs. I don't know if we're going to make it through there or not. But you see all those marvelous buildings and all those neat things that they have, the skyscrapers, all the things. And it's amazing what man can make. You think about you and your profession. You think about you and your life. There's probably somebody that helped you along the way where you could say they quote unquote made me. Made me. Somebody may have discipled you. Somebody may have mentored you, but they helped you get along the way. Okay? I think about a story about Troy Aikman, the great Dallas Cowboy quarterback. Jimmy Johnson was a ruthless coach. If you were caught sleeping during film session, he would cut you unless your name was Troy Aikman. Troy Aikman was being credited to making a Hall of Fame receiver in Michael Irvin, a Super Bowl champion in Alvin Harper. Jay Novacek credits Troy Aikman for creating his career, making his career. Daryl Johnston, there's so many others on those Super Bowl teams that reflect back and they say that Troy Aikman made me who I was in the National Football League. I had an opportunity to be the head basketball coach at Mineola, Texas, and we had a pretty good team. We were on a 6-game winning streak, and I was excited. The team had finally started to gel together. The egos and everything finally started to gel into being a team. And then our point guard was an absolutely amazing athlete, an amazing athlete. And we had a post on our team that was averaging 22 points a game. And we were going in to playing Hawkins right before Christmas break. And Hawkins was rated number 8 in the state in Class 2A. We were Class 3A. It was going to be the test to see where we stood against good basketball teams. Well, the athletic director came to me before the game. And he says that your point guard has failed a drug test. Therefore, he is suspended for the rest of the season. I was heartbroken. Heartbroken. We go out into that game against Hawkins, and I'll never forget it. We got beat 62-42, and I saw exactly where we stood. We had a post that was averaging about 20 points a game, and the assistant coach said, "That post has got to step up. He's got to score." I didn't have to watch any film. I said, "No, he can't score." He said, "Why?" "Because our point guard's gone." When you go back and watch all the film, you'll see our point guard could get in the lane, he could create everything, defenses would collapse on him, and he'd dish the most beautiful pass right to his hands, and he'd be right underneath the basket, and he'd just put it off the glass. He did that every time. So basically, our little point guard made our post. And for the remainder of that season, that post that was scoring 22 points a game, he went to averaging a mere 4 points a game. That point guard made him, quote unquote. But now we get to something way beyond NASA, way beyond Super Bowl rings, way beyond high school basketball. We get to God's sovereignty in making you and me. Look at this here. He appointed 12. He made 12. He had already purposed. He had already planned out their lives before the beginning of time. Does that give you hope this morning? Does it give you hope that you're not an accident today? Does it give you hope that the prophet Jeremiah says, "Before you were in your mother's womb, I knew you"? That's amazing to me. There is purpose. There is focus, there is desire from our Heavenly Father to you and what He has made you to be. He appointed you. He appointed you. He appointed these 12. These 12. He made these 12. What did He make them to do? Well, number one, He made them that they might be with Him. You got to understand who these 12 guys are. Dr. John MacArthur has wrote a book called 12 Ordinary Men. Our assistant principal was telling Mr. Curry and I about it this week. I've not read the book. I'd love to. But it gives a biography of each apostle as you work your way through the New Testament. So as we look at this today, this is what we know about these apostles. This is what we know about the 12 disciples. We know that they were not educated. We know that they were not theologians. We know that they were not priests. What do we know? We know that they were fishermen. We know that one was a tax collector. We know that one was an extremist. We know that these people come from a varied background, and God did not call the equipped. He called the unequipped so that what? He could equip them. Look at that first point there. That first point there in verse 14 is that they might be with Him. He wanted that immediate association for what? So that He could train them in who? Train them in who He is. Aren't you thankful for that today? Wow. Aren't you thankful for that? Number two, not only that He might be with them, but number two, He might send them out to preach. He might send them out to preach. Wasn't this a slap in the face to the Pharisees? They knew the law by the back of their hand. And He took these 12 men, who were uneducated, untrained, and He trained them for the second reason that He calls them, and He calls them out so that they might be sent out to preach. And folks, as we're going to tell you the rest of the story today, that's exactly what they do. They preach. They herald the Word of God. They proclaim the Word of God. They proclaim the gospel of the kingdom of God. That's what they're called to do. How did they do that? They were right there with the Savior. It infuriates me today to think about pulpits across our county, pulpits across our country, pulpits across the world where the Word of God won't even be open today. Won't even be open today. They'll do some little self-help book. They'll do some little 12-step program. They won't even open the Word of God in pulpits today across America. I have brothers in Christ that fill pulpits, that preach at churches, and they tell me, well, I just rely on what the Holy Spirit has called me to preach upon, and I'll preach on it when I get in the pulpit Sunday. How ashamed I would be to stand before an awesome God and try to say that to Him. When He calls us to preach, He calls us to study. When He calls us to study, He calls us to dig. He calls us to get into the profound truths of the Word of God so that no stone is left unturned. You should fire me if I don't study the Word of God. You're called to preach. And He sent them out that they might preach. Number three, look at verse 15. The third thing that He called them to do is this: to have power to heal sicknesses. This is the only group in the Bible that's going to have that power. So if you're watching Creflo Dollar, turn him off. If you're watching these false prophets that are on your TV, Leroy Jenkins, whoever they may be, Benny Hinn that's going around saying that they can heal your sicknesses, turn those frauds off and stop sending them your money. Stop it. They are a blasphemy to the Word of God. They're fake. They're false. They are prophets that are pure of the devil. He said they have the power to heal sicknesses. Now, Michael, do you believe that God still heals sickness? Absolutely. Barbara Little's here this morning. Amen. There's people in here this morning that God has healed you. Amen. And you can give Him glory for that. So as I think about these things and I see these things today, these men had the power to heal sickness, but who gave them the authority? Jesus Christ gave him the authority. Jesus Christ gave them the authority. Look at the fourth thing they were given to do in verse 15. They were given the power to cast out demons. We're going to see this over and over and over again. There is an unseen realm out there that principalities and powers are battling all around us, and we don't even know it. It scares me to think what lurks outside. But I prayed before you prayed, coming to church this morning, that the Lord God Almighty put His angels in charge around this church building today. That the very presence of evil and the very demonic forces that walk up and down these roads do not enter into the house of the Lord. Because this house is not a house for thieves. It is a house of prayer. That's what we should be praying. They were given the power to cast out demons. Well, Michael, do you believe that there are people that have the power to cast out demons today? No. I don't care what the Catholic Church has done to license a preach and demonology to perform exorcisms. I can tell you who can cleanse you of demons today. His name is Jesus Christ. That's who cleanses and casts out demons today. So, who did He call? What a ragtag group of individuals. Doesn't this give us hope today? Right? Man, doesn't this give us hope today, this list? Let's work our way through them. I want to tell you who they are. Then I want to tell you how they finish. Okay? I want to tell you how they finish. Verse 16, all to himself, Simon, to whom he gave the name Peter. Simon Peter, Jesus gave him the name Peter, this Greek name that means stone, it meant rock. He was the leader of this ragtag group. Many scholars have said he was the oldest, possibly 10 years older than some of the rest of the apostles. We don't know that, but that's what some scholars say. We do know this, in the book of Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20, Christ is the head of the church. And He foreordained prophets and apostles to do what? To preach the gospel. And didn't Peter preach the gospel? Peter went and preached the gospel, and in the book of Acts chapter 17, verse 6, Paul and Silas, they went into Jason's house to arrest him, to find Paul and Silas so they could kill him. And what did these Jewish magistrates say? He says, these are the same people that was part of these other people that did what? Turn the whole world upside down. Upside down. Oh, church today, would we have the power through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to turn this old world upside down? You know the only way that we can do that is to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. He's the one that turns the world upside down. Simon Peter, the one that was the cusser, the one that was the fisherman, the one that was uneducated, the one that was not trained, the one that cut off the soldier's ear. He was a brawler. Many of us can identify with Simon Peter. Yeah, he denied Christ 3 times. Yeah, that guy, Simon Peter. But when you read 1 and 2 Peter, oh, what training did he get from the Lord? What training did he get from the Lord? What happened to Peter? Many of you know Peter was crucified. But he said, I will not be crucified like my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He says, I want to be crucified upside down. That will not be in your Bibles. That will be in history. However, in the Gospel of John, Jesus foretells Simon Peter, you will have the same death as I. And that same death that Jesus had on the cross, Peter went through it too. And Peter said, hang me upside down. Why? Because he proclaimed the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hey, can I get real with you today? Sometimes we think we're somebody, don't we? Oh, I'm at church on Sunday. Right? I read my Bible every night. Hey, I talk to people about the Lord. I'm this and I'm that.
When we look at this ragtag group and we say, oh, we have hope. Oh, to only be able to do what these men did for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Wow. When we think we're somebody, we need to look at this and realize we're nobody. And we see Simon Peter gave his life for the gospel of Jesus Christ. We see two brothers that were called. Look at the next verse in verse 17. James, the son of Zebedee, and John, the brother of James, to whom he gave the name Boanerges, that is, sons of thunder. James and John were Zebedee's sons. They were fishermen. That's what they knew how to do. James and John were Zebedee's sons, but they were also mama's boys. Remember when their mother went to Jesus and said, will you give this son the right hand and this son the left hand when you enter into your kingdom? You remember that? Mama had to come begging place for him. Mama had to go to the coach and say, I need my kid to have a little bit more playing time. Y'all know what I'm talking about? You do, because you're laughing, right? They go to the teacher, well, you need to do this for my kid or that for my... This is this mama. And she's going to Jesus and saying, I need my sons to have these places. And he's like, no, they're Boanerges. They're the sons of thunder. R.C. Sproul said they were a bunch of hotheads. You ever been around hotheads before? They blow off at the drop of a dime. They get upset at the drop of the dime. They go into that village that would not accept them and they said, Jesus, just call down the fires from heaven. Right? That was James and John. But I'm thankful that their hearts softened. And James is the only apostle in the Scripture that we find out in the Scripture that he was executed by King Herod in the book of Acts. The book of Acts tells us that James was executed by the sword. That means that he was beheaded. He was beheaded. James was executed by the sword by King Herod Agrippa, and he was done that way because he preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. Many of you know about John. John is the disciple whom Jesus loved. This is the one that wrote the gospel of John, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, the book of Revelation. He was exiled to the Isle of Patmos because he was continually proclaiming the gospel. And as he was on the Isle of Patmos, Jesus Christ appears and gives him one of the great books of the Bible, the book of Revelation. He comes back from the Isle of Patmos. He retires there to a little old bitty house, not much bigger than this platform that I stand on today. Jacqueline and I have been inside of it. He cared for Jesus' mother, Mary, and he passed away, tradition tells us, at the age of 98 in Ephesus, Turkey. He was the only apostle that was not martyred. Then we get to Andrew. Andrew was Peter's brother. Look there in verse 18. He gives us the list. Andrew was Peter's brother, and Andrew went to preach the gospel all over that part of Asia Minor, that part of Israel. And as he was preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, he was crucified. But he said, do not crucify me on a cross like this. Crucify me on a cross that's an X. And as he was crucified on the cross with an X, his extremities were pulled and pulled and pulled. And for 3 days, Andrew suffered on that cross. But for those 3 days, tradition tells us that Andrew, until his last breath, preached the gospel of Jesus Christ on that cross. Wow. Does this amaze you this morning? Does this give you hope this morning? Does this excite you this morning to go out and to share with others about the gospel of Jesus Christ? Then there is Philip. John 1:44, he was more or less a Hellenized Jew. This is not the same Philip that we see in the book of Acts. This is a different Philip. And as we see this Philip. This Philip went into Asia Minor, which is modern-day Turkey, and he preached the name of Jesus Christ. And tradition tells us that Philip was stoned to death. They took large, heavy stones, and they got on top of him, and they crushed him until he was no more. Philip. Then there in verse 18 it says that he called Bartholomew. Bartholomew in the Aramaic means Bar of Ptolemy. Bar of Ptolemy, it means son of this man, son of Ptolemy. So Bartholomew is the same guy that we see in John chapter 1. He goes by his God's given name of Nathanael. Bartholomew and Nathanael. I want you to do me a favor real quick, because there may be some of you in here still doubt the sovereignty of God. I want you to turn over to John chapter 1 real quick. John chapter 1, I want you to look at verse 43. This is good stuff. I hope you're as excited as I am on this right here. Bartholomew, who is Nathanael. John chapter 1 verse 43 says, "The following day, Jesus wanted to go to Galilee, and he found Philip and said to him, 'Follow me.' Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter, and Philip found Nathanael. And said to him, 'We have found him of whom Moses is the law, and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph.'" And listen to Nathanael. Listen to Bartholomew. This is how many of us are. Look there in verse 46. Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Just a side note real quick. Jim Little will know where I'm talking about. There's a little old town up in the panhandle called Nazareth, Texas. And there's a sign that says that right there. "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" And right next to that sign is, about 20 state basketball championships. So there you go. "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in him is no deceit." And Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Oh, wow. How do you know me? Look here. Jesus answered and said to him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael answered and said to him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, hereafter you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." And yes, that's exactly what Bartholomew, that's exactly what Nathanael's seen. Nathanael was tied up. He was bound up by his arms. He was bound up by his legs. He was bound up into a ball. And he was drawn out to the sea. And he was dropped into the deepest part of the sea where he drowned. Why? Because he preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. Wow. Is this giving you hope this morning? Then we go to the next guy. You already know him. We've studied about him. He's Matthew, the tax collector. He was called earlier in the Gospel of Mark. And Matthew, the tax collector, when Jesus said, "Follow me," he left everything behind and he followed him. He's the same guy that wrote under the Holy Spirit the Gospel of Matthew. And as Matthew, the tax collector, what happened to him? Well, he was put on the cross. But he was not just put on the cross to be crucified. He was put on the cross to be burnt. He was burnt on the cross. Burnt on the cross. Then we get to the next guy, and his name is Thomas. Many of you know Thomas, also called Didymus. Didymus simply means twin. He is the historic doubting Thomas. Doubting Thomas. "I don't believe you unless you show me." And Jesus says, "Put your hand in my hand." Amen. Jesus said, "Put right here, feel my side." And old Thomas, boy, was he excited then. He went from doubting Thomas to a missionary that went all the way into the country of India. He made it all the way to India, and as Thomas made it down into India, what happened to him? He was preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ to Hindus, people that believed in many gods, and as he was preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ to these Hindus, a Hindu native come from behind, and they gored him with a spear right through his stomach, right through his back, and it killed him. Doing what? Preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Next we have on this list, James, the son of Alphaeus.
In other scripture, he is known as James the Less. Dr. John MacArthur says James the less in the Greek, means that he was a little guy. Isn't this cool how Jesus gives all these guys nicknames? You know when you're around your buddies and you give each other nicknames? Some of them you can't repeat in here, I get it. But you give these guys nicknames. He gave old Peter that name, Peter, Cephas, the rock. He gives these guys these nicknames, the sons of thunder. Man, I'd like to, that sounds like a tag team in wrestling, right? I'd like to have that kind of nickname. Then you go on down the list and you got all these nicknames. And he gets to this guy, James the Less. The little guy, James the son of Alphaeus. What happened to James the Less? Well, James was stoned to death by Pharisaic Jews. Why? Because he was preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Then you get to the next guy that's got an interesting nickname, Thaddeus. Thaddeus in the Greek means mama's boy. Mama's boy. He's called in other gospels Lebaeus, and Lebaeus simply means that he has the heart for his mother. So when God, in His sovereignty, called these 12 apostles to Himself, they're leaving everything behind. And I bet on the trail of going on these dangerous journeys of sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ to the Jews, I bet Thaddeus kept saying, I want my mama. In other gospels, his real name is Judas, the son of James. Luke 6:16, John 14:22. This mama's boy went to Asia Minor to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. It incited a mob, and history tells us that Thaddeus was clubbed to death presenting the gospel of Jesus Christ. Then we get to Simon the Canaanite. In other portions of the word, he's known as Simon the Zealot. This zealot was part of a nationalistic fervor to overthrow Rome and reclaim the nationalism of Israel. He was a zealot. He was a patriot for his country. And Jesus called him to Himself. What about old Simon the Zealot? Wow. Just like the prophet Isaiah, Simon the Zealot, history tells us, was sawn completely in half for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, in your slumber, in your sleep, wake up. Because I'm talking to you now. This is where it gets hard. There was another guy that was called. There was another guy that was chosen. Chosen as a vessel of wrath, not as a vessel of mercy. His name is Judas Iscariot. He is not a Galilean. You know Judas very well. Many people know Judas Iscariot. You could preach a sermon this morning on Judas Iscariot because he's been preached about more than any other of these guys, more than likely, except maybe Peter, James, and John. But Judas Iscariot, Psalm 41, verse 9, says that the Son of Man will be betrayed by the same man that eats bread with him. Zechariah chapter 11 prophesies this, that there will be somebody in the group of 12 that will betray the Son of Man. Jesus said it from the get-go. Don't think for one minute that Jesus did not know. Jesus is God in the flesh. He knew exactly who Judas was. He knew why he had been born. He knew what his mission in life was to do. And if that doesn't give you chill bumps this morning, nothing will. Nothing will. Judas Iscariot was appointed for this time to do what? He was appointed to betray the Son of Man so that God's ultimate plan for victory in us could be fulfilled. Judas betrayed,
Jesus Christ for 30 pieces of silver. 30 pieces of silver. Brother Schaefer told us what that meant this past Wednesday night in the book of Exodus. 30 pieces of silver. So I want you to think about this today. He goes there. Satan entered into him. I believe that's in the Gospel of John. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I'll go back and look at that. But Satan entered into him. Jesus told him, you go do what you've been called to do. Go do what you're going to do. So he gets up there and he goes up and he does what? He betrays Jesus by kissing him on the cheek, right? And so as we know these things, as we see these things, as we study these things, I want you guys to think about this. Judas sold his soul, 30 pieces of silver. Already prophesied and proclaimed for this mission that had to be carried out by the Heavenly Father. And so as we think about that this morning, as we work our way through this, Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him, and they went into a house. Every time you look at the list of apostles, and they're in the Gospel of Matthew, Mark, Luke, not in John, go to the book of Acts. Every time you see that, something negative said about Judas. Something negative. Judas betrayed him for this 30 pieces of silver. When he saw what was happening to Jesus, what did he do? He didn't repent. He didn't repent whatsoever. He had remorse. There's a difference between remorse in your heart and repenting. Today is the day of salvation. You can repent and believe upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. But if you're just remorseful about something, that's what Judas was. Just remorseful. He went back to the temple and what did he do? He took that bag of 30 silver pieces of coin and he threw them at the Pharisees and he took off running. And they said, what we'll do, because it's been prophesied, we'll go purchase a potter's field. What happened? Judas went out, he took a piece of rope, he hung himself. Dr. Luke gives us a very descriptive picture of what happens. As he was dead, the body began to bloat. And as the body began to bloat, the rope probably snapped. Judas, the Bible says, his head hit first, then his stomach. When his head hit and his stomach hit, it's very graphic, but I'm just going to tell you like it is. His intestines went all over the ground. All over the ground. You say, what a miserable death. But I'm going to tell you this today. What a miserable soul. Could hell be any hotter for Judas? He ran with the group. He ran with Jesus. You're not hearing me this morning. There's some of you here, you're saying, I'm running with Jesus. I'm at church. I'm giving. I'm reading my Bible. But you don't have 1 ounce of a relationship with Him. He calls you today, oh sinner, to come to Him. There's some people today in here, you're only cared about the church finances. And that's how Judas was. He was the treasurer. Oh, we can't spend this money. We can't do this. We can't do that. That's all he cared about. He didn't care about the preaching of the word. He didn't care about the ministry of people. All he cared about was himself and his money. Wake up, church. Wake up. Because there's a day of reckoning coming between you and the Lord. And when that day of reckoning comes, you better hope and pray that you can stand with assurance, knowing that God chose you before the foundation of the world, and the only way you can stand before God is not what you have done, or not what you think you believe, but because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ over your soul. Judas Iscariot. Can hell be any hotter? What happened after that, Michael? Well, they chose Matthias in the book of Acts chapter 1. They did it by casting lots. Lots was something that was done in Old Testament times, in Proverbs, in 1 and 2 Samuel. They put a jar in a stone, they stuck the jar up, and they poured it out. If the rock come out and it was to be Matthias' rock, that's who they chose. They chose Matthias under the direction of this casting of lots before the Holy Spirit had come upon the day of Pentecost. And here is what happened. Matthias became that 12th apostle. Okay? Now, we get to the point of the Scripture this morning where we have to make a definite definition of what an apostle is. Can you let me do that real quick? In Dr. Ryrie's study Bible, the class of 2009 gave this to me. And I went back and was reading through some of their nice words that they written to me in here. And boy, it just blessed my heart. And I want to share this right here with you just real quick. Matthew chapter 10, verse 1 and 2, he called his 12 disciples to him and he gave them authority to drive out evil spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles. So in verse 1, they're called disciples. In verse 2, they're called apostles. Okay? A disciple is one who is taught by another. He is a learner. A learner of what? The Gospels. The Gospels frequently use the word of disciples of Moses, of John the Baptist, and of course Jesus. Judas Iscariot is an example of an unsaved disciple in Christ. And there were others who deserted him as well. The word is used in Acts as a synonym for believer. However, I found this interesting. It does not appear at all in the rest of the New Testament. This may be because a disciple was expected to physically follow his teacher wherever he went, leaving family and occupation. After Christ's ascension, this was impossible. Joseph of Arimathea, John 19:38, was for a time a secret disciple of Christ. Now we get to the word apostle. Some of these idiots on our television screen that say that they are apostles, again, turn them off. Turn them off. Because there are three qualifications for being an apostle. Dr. Ryrie gives them to us today. The word apostle means one sent forth. An ambassador who bears a message and who represents the one who sent him. Here are the qualifications. Number one, seeing the Lord and being an eyewitness to His resurrection. Acts 1:22, 1 Corinthians 9:1. Number two, being invested with miraculous sign gifts, such as healing sickness, power over demons, Acts 5:15, Hebrews 2. And then number three, being chosen by the Lord. Chosen by the Lord. Those are the qualifications of an apostle. So, if that apostle today comes on your TV and says, well, I got a revelation from the Lord, and this is what they told me, turn it off. Because nothing needs to be added to the Word of God. Okay? Number two, that apostle comes on TV, quote unquote, and says, I can heal your sickness if you drink my water for $7.99. No. Right? Or all you've got to do is call in and I'll send you my prayer cloth. And when I wipe my sweat with my prayer cloth and I give it to you, it will heal you. You turn those frauds off. Then you turn on the TV and you see, well, I'm an apostle. Oh, you are. You were chosen by God at the mountain. I think not. I think not. Frauds. So the apostles, Matthias, what happened to him? Matthias was stoned in Jerusalem, but after his stoning, they wanted to make a statement, so they cut off his head. Paul, the apostle Paul, wow, on the road to Damascus, a changed life. He was beheaded by the Emperor Nero. The others spread the gospel like no other. And I want to tell you something, church. We are the heritage of that today. Isn't that awesome? We think about our early church fathers. Or we think about early church fathers of New Hope Baptist Church. Folks, we can go all the way back to the apostles. And you know what we need to do? We need to praise God for them. Because when we think that we're something, we're nothing when it comes to this group of 12 ordinary men. Dr. MacArthur said this, our Lord uses ordinary, weak, failing, you're not going to like this, ignorant saints to do His work. Why? Because that's the only kind that there are. Heavenly Father, banish our pride. Lord, there's some of us in here today that think we know it all, and we don't know anything. Lord, there's some of us in here today that have egos that are so boastful and so proud of all that we've done for You. And Lord, when we study Your apostles, Lord, we're nothing. We're nothing. Lord, we thank You for Your Word this morning. Your doctrine is rich. Your doctrine is truth. And Lord, as we look at these men that You have called, Lord, I pray for the ones here today that have been called to salvation, that have been called to serve You. Lord, I ask them to start talking to You now in prayer. What have they done to serve You when it comes to being called by You? Lord, there may be somebody here today like Judas. They're just running with the crowd. They're doing all the religious things. They're doing all the things that they've been taught to do by tradition. Lord, today I pray that their heart of stone is turned into a heart of flesh so that they can receive You as Lord and Savior. Lord, thank You again for Your Word. Thank You for Your church. And I'm thankful for the heritage that we have here at New Hope Baptist Church. A church that is not ashamed to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, may we hold true to Your Word. May we hold true to Your standards. And we thank You for all that You've done for us. We give You praise, honor, and glory today. In the name above all names, the name of Jesus Christ, and for His sake. Amen. We thank you for being here at New Hope Baptist Church today. We are excited to let you know that we have four families, really three families, but four families today coming to unite with us here at New Hope Baptist Church. So at this time, I would love for our families, if y'all will, to come on down forward as we present you to the church. Our God is an awesome God. Amen. We present to you today, I'm going to start over here with Pat and Janice Doolin. They come to us this morning professing Jesus Christ as personal Savior, been scripturally baptized. They come to place their letter here from Harvest Acres Baptist Church. And then the second couple here is Paul and Kathy Harris. Paul and Kathy Harris been saved, scripturally baptized, come here to place their letter from Harvest Acres Baptist Church. Let me tell you real quick. I want to thank this church for starting the COVID service at 9 a.m. When you started that service, we had people from different churches and different places come and join in with us. And these two couples did. And they are faithful. And they are faithful to the Lord, faithful to His church, and they appreciate the teaching of the Word of God. And I'm going to tell you what, I appreciate them. And I hope you get to know Pat and Janice, and I hope you get to know Paul and Kathy, because they are amazing people, and we're going to be blessed at New Hope Baptist Church for having them here. Our next couple is here, and I said three as far as families. This is one big family. But we want to present them to you in two separate families. It's awesome how the Lord works. I've known Philip and Sherry Moore, golly, for nearly 35 years. It's just amazing how the Lord works. Coach Moore was a coach of mine, just an incredible mentor, incredible man of God. I love him and I appreciate who he is. Miss Sherry works as the registrar up at Mineola. Any of you that's been through Mineola ISD, y'all know the Moores. And Philip and Sherry Moore come to us today wanting to move their membership from First Baptist Church to New Hope Baptist Church. And we're excited about that. And with that being said, Our next couple here is Judd and Marissa Moore. And then you got little Marilyn here sitting up here with them. Judd and is Philip and Sherry's son. And he's such an amazing young man. I had the opportunity to coach him in Little Dribblers in high school. And now I get to serve alongside with him at Alba Golden ISD. He is our band director at Alba Golden ISD. And he's just doing a phenomenal job. And I appreciate him and I appreciate Marissa. I was honored to be able to minister their wedding. So this is special to me. As they come here, Judd comes to bring promise of a letter from First Baptist Church. And then Marissa has been saved and baptized. And forgive me, it's a church out in Arizona, Baptist Church in Arizona. Help me out, Marissa.
Cornerstone.
Cornerstone Baptist Church from Arizona comes here to place their letter with us. I know that you're excited about what the Lord is doing. Let's praise Him with applause and let's praise Him with a hearty amen. Surely none oppose what the Lord has put on these couples' hearts to come here and serve. So at this time, I know due to COVID, I'm going to go around and give the right hand to Christian Fellowship. But what I would encourage you to do as members and as guests, please come by and see them and let them know how thankful you are for having them a part of New Hope Baptist Church. Isn't this an awesome picture this morning? Praise God for His victory today. Coach, I appreciate you. Y'all can be seated, and please come by and let everybody know. Yes, Miss Patty, I am doing a better job at this. Praise God. Please go by and visit our couples as you leave today. We invite you back tonight, 6 o'clock. We're going to be in Proverbs chapter 7, verses 1 through 5. And then after that, we'll go into our monthly business meeting. And we have a situation about our roof we really need to talk to you about. So that's of importance, and I hope you'll be back for that tonight. We have a lot of exciting things going on at New Hope. He's really blessing us. Amen. So just continue to pray for the ministry at New Hope Baptist Church and pray for just all the great things that he is doing here at New Hope Baptist Church. Any word or announcement before we dismiss? If not, I'm going to ask Brother John.